never been better.
We're doing great.
Best day of my life.
No, really?
You're amazing.
That's fantastic.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
It's under control.
I'm sure we can afford it.
I'm glad I don't struggle with that.
Never been better.
Doesn't get any better than this.
Welcome to part four of our series, Masquerade. And what a great title of a series as we approach Halloween, right? Okay, but it means something entirely different around here. Just want to, first of all, welcome those that are just now joining us online. We're so glad that you are here and a part of this series. And come on, can we just welcome those that are with us, joining us now, have a good online campus. And encourage you to, if you're here in the house, we're going to have some message notes as we go into this installment of this message that are there in your worship guide online. Those are also available to you. You can download those and follow along with us. Before we get started, I want to just give a earned, well-earned shout-out to UNC Charlotte football team, who last night pulled off a win in overtime with a gutsy going for two at the end. So it was awesome. It was awesome. And it really was very therapeutic for me because I'm a Florida State guy, and we won't talk about that. But anyway, also want to say we had a very successful food drive yesterday as we connected with some UNC Charlotte students, and appreciate those that contributed to that. If you'd still like to make contributions to that, we can receive those, and we'll get those. They're going to the men's shelter, and you can see Karen, our Dream Team coordinator, after service. She'll give you some details of how she can receive that from you. And so we just want you to be a part of that, have that opportunity if you hadn't had that opportunity yet to participate with that. And also, again, as you just heard, we're looking forward to Trunk or Treat. I've never been a part of a Trunk or Treat, but I'm going to have my trunk, and we're going to have some treats. So we're going to have a good time, but it's an opportunity really to reach out, and I appreciate the leadership of Laura and others that are helping with this and leading this and coordinating this, and it's really going to be a cool event. We got a lot of responses through social media that we're going to have a good crowd, so hope you come. If you come, bring some candy, because I think we're going to need some extra candy, so bring some candy, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. Let me jump right into this series this morning. Now, it is a very serious topic that we're going to talk about today, but I believe God wants to do something very special today. And so I was just sharing before we even went online today with our group here in-house that this is a very challenging message. In fact, I just want us to begin with a word of prayer, because I believe this is a word that I think the enemy would love us not to hear and put up a stop sign to, you know. But I believe that it's a specific message I believe God really wants us to hear that's timely for today. Father, I thank you for your word today that's life. I thank you that your word has the power to change us. I thank you that your word was written for our correction, for rebuke, for our encouragement, and to give us life. And Father, I pray that you would choose my words for me, that they be your words, and that you would speak not just to the ear but to the heart, we pray that lives will be changed in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those that are watching online live, and I pray for those that are viewing this later. Speak to us today. May we be forever changed, God, and set free, which is the reason you came. To set us free and that we might enjoy life and life to the fullest. And you've even offered us life eternal. God, for that we thank you. And we give you all the credit for all you do today in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Look with me, if you would, at your message notes there. We have it on the screen also. I want us to jump into our theme verse that we are using for this series. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Or Paul says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. And so many of us wear masks. We hide behind this mask. We guard ourselves with this mask. And he says, we refuse to do that. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes but rather we keep everything we say and do out in the open. And so people wear masks. There are a few people that are willing to be open and to lower those masks, but there's probably even less people who at church are willing to do that. It seems like church is a place where people play games the most. We put on a persona. We wear masks. We pretend to be someone that we're not. And so we play games with God sometimes. In fact, we seem to sometimes present ourselves Monday through Saturday in one way, but on Sunday in a different way. But my hope is that we will get to the place where we will be real not only Monday through Saturday, but also on Sunday. And so today we're going to talk about the dark side, unmasking our dark side. And it's this side of us that we would love to change. And we're many times working very hard to keep it hidden. And we hide behind this place, and we're masked. And there's a fear associated with this dark side, the fear of being exposed or found out. And if I'm ever found out, you know, instead of us believing we're going to get help, we believe we're going to get fired or we're going to get divorced. And if people knew, I would lose respect. And so all we think of is if I reveal this, it's only going to be bad news. But let me just encourage us today that God doesn't want to expose you, not here just to for the purpose of merely exposing you and to cast an accusing finger at you and say, I told you so. But he already knows we have sin, and we all have sin in our life. But he is wanting to love us enough, so much so he loved us so much that he sent his son to save us, not to stand in the court of our lives and slam a gavel and say, I told you so, but instead he wants to come and to rescue us and to offer us life. That's the reason that he came. He came to give us life and to set us free. So I want us to get behind the mask today. And today's, again, it's a very difficult message because even Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. We don't want anyone to know. And so when you're doing wrong things and you're doing things that you know are wrong, you don't want to hear a message like this. You want to hear a happy, encouraging, upbeat message, but the fact is we need to address those things that oftentimes we are hiding in our lives. And so there's a fear associated with this, a fear of this. But we need to also realize that there's no need to fear because First John, it teaches us that where there is perfect love, and that's what God offers today, it casts out all fear. And so let me just say this, and I'm going to, this is a tough message. So I'm going to stick real close to the script today because I want to make sure this is really understood. But listen to me this morning. We'll never accomplish anything great or experience the freedom that God offers and that we so desperately need if we spend all of our energy in the process of masking what's going on in our lives. And this is true of all sins, but it's especially true of sexual sins. And I don't want to pick on that one specific one, but I think of all the areas of sin, the most ashamed of that can be is probably 75% of it. And it's true that of all sin, but there's probably no area where there's more secrecy involved than in the area of sexual sin. And so what used to be obtained through going to the bookstore in the parking lot, in the back, in the dark of the building, behind the building, can now be found in the privacy of a click in your own home. And the enemy has succeeded in making this more convenient than ever before and really capable of it being more secret than ever before. Let me share with you some statistics. And these statistics aren't probably the most current statistics I could bring to you. Probably worse than this, but it's stated that there are 40 million And I mean, there's only about 300 million, right, in our country. 40 million of us are regular visitors to porn on the web. 40 million. There's more revenue. More revenue is made through the pornography industry than Major League Baseball, the NFL, and the NBA combined. Listen to this staggering statistic. Child pornography generates $3 billion a year. Child pornography. Get a hold of this one. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds are viewing pornography online. 90%. That's 9 out of 10 of 6-year-olds to, did I say that right? Of 8-year-olds to 16-year-olds. And a third of all visitors to an adult website are men, so it's, excuse me, are women. So it's not just a men issue. So we're going to expose the sexual sin and all sin today, for that matter, but get behind the mask. And let me just share this with you. There's a progression to the mask. First, it's the enemy's job to provide us an opportunity. Write that down, an opportunity. And the devil's a pretty good fisherman, right? He knows what, he knows where to throw the hook. He knows what lure to use. And he makes a customized one fit specifically for you. 2 Corinthians even says that he schemes. He's at the drawing board designing it. So he's not just some, you know, red horn-tailed pitchfork guy, but actually he's very intelligent and he works overtime to customize a sin just for you. And what's a weakness for you may not be a weakness for somebody else, and what's and vice versa, right? But he knows how to get us, right? And give us that opportunity. Genesis 4:7 says, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. So it's at the door. It's right there at the door. You know it. And it wants to master you. And so it says, but you must master it. And so my encouragement today would be, don't be naive. Don't be naive. Because this message affects all of us in one way or another. Parents, don't be naive regarding the statistic I just gave you with our own children and what's going on. You see, here's the thing, though. It's the devil's job to provide an opportunity. That's going to happen. So we're not going to, we can't eliminate the opportunity, right? We can't stop it. But the goal isn't to stop those opportunities, but the goal is to have a game plan with those when those opportunities come along, because they are coming your way. They're coming your way. So the culprit of sin, really, at the entry point of sin is through the eyes. So we have an opportunity, and then there's this eye gate we have. And so we take a look. That's the next thing that happens. We give it a little thought. I remember hearing as a child, I don't really know what this means, but curiosity killed the cat. And buddy, it will. It will. And so we let it come through the windows of our eyes. And if you could just control, someone said if you could just control the eye gate, you could control about 90% of all sin. Amazing, isn't it? Actually, I'll just a little illustration here, a personal illustration. I remember a woman that at my church when I was a teenager, we would go pick her up and take her to church. She was blind. She couldn't see. I would help her into the church, help her to her pew. And one day, and she was a very beautiful lady. She was just an elderly lady, but she was very gracious, very sweet spirit, very kind heart. And the Lord healed her in a moment in a church service. And her eyes were open. She could see. Yeah, it was amazing. It was a miracle. And that was something to thank God for. But interestingly enough, as the days followed, the months followed, with now her eyes open, there were opportunities. A person who was once in her life that was not a good influence came back into her life, and she started making bad choices That sweet spirit was replaced by a very bad spirit. And I thought to myself, my goodness, sometimes the eyes, even Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And I don't know if we have to literally do that. But I think what he's really saying there is do whatever is necessary. Because the eye gate, it's powerful. We take a look. James 1 and 14 says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. And so we see, we look, we take a look. Jesus said, this is not in your notes, this is extra here if you want to write this down. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So there's this eye gate that's extremely important. And this, the third thing that happens in this process, and this is, I believe, where we need to stop the process right here at this point, and that is, okay, we have the opportunity, we take a look, and then we begin to reason. We begin to reason. And we say, well, I wonder if it will hurt me that bad. Well, I wonder if I'll get caught, or, well, it's not that bad after all, and, well, it doesn't affect me like it would affect others. And, well, and here's another one. Well, God knows how hard this is for me to control. Maybe he's okay with it. You know, the kids used to use this one a lot. Well, everybody's doing it, right? And so we justify with, here's one. We justify with, well, God just wants me to be happy. Can I give you a news flash? God does not want you to be happy. And you're thinking, what? No, something much better. God wants you to be holy, holy. You say, well, that. Well, wait a minute. No, as a parent, I don't want my kids to be happy. Oh, every morning I inflict pain upon them. I tell them, you're going to get up, and you're going to school today. And if I wanted them to be happy, they would sleep all day long. They would eat chocolate, you know, for lunch. You know, they would just have it their way because I just want them to be happy, right? No, I want them to be successful and productive, right, with their life. I want them to have a purpose and a reason, right? Right? So what's better than being happy is being holy. God doesn't, and we get hung up, oh, well, but God wants me happy. And so we justify, and we begin to reason, and we think, well, you know, and I'm just going to tell you, God, come on, everybody. God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy, because holy is going to bring a peace to your life. Holiness is going to bring a completeness to your life. Come on, we're just getting back to old purity and holiness. You know, this is good stuff, right? So we justify. And we think it's okay, but it's not okay. John chapter 8 and 44, when it speaks of this, says when he, speaking of Satan, lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He'll tell you things like, well, you'll be happier. And the kids will be happier. Mom and dad was arguing anyway. Kids will be happier and much better. Or, that's not your soulmate. This is your soulmate over here. This is the right person for you. And let me tell you what happens in this state, in this part of this progression. At this point, we become sexually confused oftentimes. In fact, most people that you see walking down the wrong path have entered into a place of all-out confusion. And the biggest danger is they're not self-aware. They start saying things that aren't true, and you can't convince them otherwise. They have reasoned this thing out. And let me just tell you what happens. And I mean this in all respect. And by the way, we're all in this together, okay? We're all in this hospital together. This isn't, I contemplated just sitting down through this whole message, so you wouldn't think I'm stuck here doing this, okay? We're all in this hospital together. But oftentimes we get this thing that we tell our kids not to say, this word that we tell them not to say. Well, let me just put it this way. We become dumb, okay? The word stupid, but we won't use that word, right? We get a case of the dumb. You get a case of the dumb. And And we just step into this place where, let me give you an illustration. I don't know how many hunt or how many hunters we have or anybody's done any hunting, but from what I understand about hunting, you hunt during mating season, right? When there's times of the year you can't find a turkey, okay? Because they're in hiding. They're not coming out. They're smart, okay? But during mating season, come on, during mating season, they're like, you know, where you at, baby? And they're strutting their stuff. Where you at? Where you at? And they're all out there walking around. And it's just, you know, come out in the middle open. Where you at? Because they do that little duck call, you know, that little turkey call thing, you know? And where you at? Boom, you're on the wall. That's where you are. You know, you're up on the side. You know, that's, you're on the Thanksgiving table right there. Because why? Because you're looking for love in all the wrong places. That's why, you know, right? You know, or deers, you know, they say in deer hunting, the time to hunt is, it's you hunt during the rut, when their necks are all swollen. And normally the buck is very smart. He'll wait before walking out into the field. He'll wait. There'll be other deers that will step out there, but he'll be holding back. In fact, he may wait 30 minutes. For those that I understand are hunting and are up in those, what do you call those places? The blinds or whatever, stand or blind. Come on, I got one out here. And they're standing there and you're waiting. You could wait 30 minutes for that buck to take one step. He takes one step. And he's going to wait about 30 more minutes to take it out because he's watching. He's watching. But during mating season, that buck, he's ready. He comes out there. He's looking around. His nose is the ground. Where are you at? Where are you at? Boom, on the wall. That's where you are, on the wall, right? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The enemy wants you on his wall. He wants you in his trophy case. So we justify and we reason. Let me give you another progression that happens. The next thing that happens then, we take a step. We act. We click on it. We stay overnight with that person we're not married to. Come on, y'all. We've all done it. I'm not saying specifically that specific thing, but in some measure, we've all done it. Whatever that sin is, we've all sinned. Come on. We've all sinned. The worst thing you do today is say, well, this is for somebody else. This one's not for me today. We've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your sin may not be somebody else's, but we've all sinned. And when we do it, when we've done it, when we clicked it, when we've said it, when we've smoked it, when whatever it is we've done, what happens afterwards, we get what I call the nasty. Come on. That feeling that comes over you. And we experience this horrible, horrible feeling. James 1 and 15 says this, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's that nasty. It may be an emotional death. It may be a marital death. It may be a death mentally. But the statistics say that there's an equal number of people who are believers going to church that are experiencing this cycle as well. So it's not just them. We like to say it's them. No. And here's the next thing in the progression. We start the cycle. And here's usually how it goes. We did it. When we come to church, hear a great message, hear some great music. Our heart's drawn, our heart's convicted. We say to God, I don't want to ever do that again. And some of us don't even get to Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and it happens again. And the cycle continues, and we go back to church, and so we go again through that cycle again. And here's the thing, the more we go through that cycle, the more we become immune to it. The repentance gets a little more softer, and the ability to sin gets more easier, and the cycle continues, and it happens to all of us, even the great apostle who wrote 2/3 of your New Testament through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, he says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. So even he struggled. And if that is just, if that's you, just know that you're in good company today. The greatest tragedy, listen to this now. I want to get this straight. I want you to understand this message. The greatest tragedy for a pastor would be for a pastor to come and stand on a stage or a believer stand next to you in church and say, I'm okay, shame on you. Or a preacher who comes up and acts like he's got it all together and say, man, you need to get it right like I've got it all right. We are all in this hospital dealing with the same stuff. Can I get a good amen right there? And I would dream of a place where we can take off the crazy mask, like we're acting like we're not going through things, and really have that area we're struggling with and get help. We need to be able to unveil the dark side and get to a place where there's no fear of exposure, but listen to this, but a guarantee of freedom. Amen? Amen. 1 John chapter 1 says this, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Get a hold of this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So if we put the mask on, if we claim we have no sin, we make him, God, out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. I believe the worst thing you can do is not that sin. The worst thing you can do is play the game. It's the masquerade that is the greatest tragedy so we get to this place where there's no hiding and we stop living in darkness and we let Jesus become the light on the subject, right? So, in other words, we have, if we're not careful, when we say there's no sin, it's not us, it's somebody else. The Bible says that we're making God out to be a liar and his word has no effect in our life. But Jesus has come to give us life, to bring freedom. And so we're going to talk about how we move beyond that nasty and get some freedom today. Amen, everybody? And I want to give us some practical solutions, I believe, of what will help us find this freedom. The one word I want to give you, I believe, that can actually save your life is this. Write this down. It's a powerful word. Run. That's the word. Run. When the lure's coming your way, don't reason, don't look at it. Run. It's like what we were saying last night in the football game. Run. We're down 17-0, came back and won the game. That's pretty good. But I was in the end zone encouraging them. Run. Get the ball and run. And I just want to encourage that. Run. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, flee the evil desires of youth. Many times in Scripture it talks about this. It talks about fleeing. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you, the Bible says, right? Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I want to be a pastor this morning and just say this to everybody and those watching online even. If you're in a compromising situation of any type, if you're stealing money on the job, if you're seeing someone secretly maybe and you're in an emotional affair and whatever it is, I want to encourage you to stop it. Break it off. Change your number. Move to Alaska if you have to. Do whatever you have to do to get out of there. And I would say do it today, right now, this moment. Text that guy. It's over. Get out. Save your life. I'm serious about that. The word is run. The Bible says flee it. Don't look back. Right? Flee. Was it Joseph that fled and left his coat? He didn't care. I'm getting out of here. Flee. Run. Stop it today. Because the more we go in this cycle, the further we get away from the grace of God. Now, his grace reaches everywhere, but it's not his grace, it's us. We start moving away. And he's reaching out for us, but we have to get out of our hiding place. Let me give you a scripture that's not there in your notes. Write this one down. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. So I would just say, I mean, if you're a young person, maybe you're even a young person watching online, I encourage you, go to your parents today. That's going to be painful. Yeah, but it's going to set you free. Go to your parents today and have the conversation. I heard of a youth pastor who he would have young people come to him and they would reveal things to him. And he was youth pastor for many years. And he said, I did this in every case. These young people come and reveal something to me that needed to be known. And he said, I'm going to give you 36 hours to tell your parents. And he said, it's not going to be pleasant, but I'm going to give you 30. You need to talk to your parents about this. And if you don't give, and within, I'm going to give you 36 hours. After that, I'm going to talk to your parents. I'm going to tell you, it's going to go a lot better if you talk to your parents instead of me talking to your parents. And he said, in every time, in every case, they experienced freedom. It set them free. See, the devil wants to get you to hide behind that mask in that dark place where he can pick you off. But see, those that come to the light, God's able to give you grace and give you freedom, all right? Let me give you a second one. Not only run, but number two, be accountable. And you have to initiate it. Get someone in your life who knows you and knows what you're going through. And I'm going to say this. You need to write this down somewhere. You have said this before, but write this one down somewhere there. If you're the only one who knows your secrets, you're in a bad place. So you need to get someone. Someone that knows you. Someone where you can say to them, you don't even have to worry about these sins. This is the area that I'm vulnerable in. This is the area, this is the question, their area that you need to question me in, that can ask you those hard questions. Check me on this. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And the devil will tell you it's not true. He'll say, if you're going to get fired if you do that, people are not going to respect you. But I'm telling you, this is a powerful truth. God uses people to bring deliverance to our life. He uses people to bring healing to our life. He puts us in relationship that we can find freedom. And so I encourage you to get one or two or three people who can read you like mail, who can ask you the hard questions. Come on a weekly basis, they need to be asking you questions like this. These are the questions I am to be asked as well. Are you spending time with God alone? And for me, it would be not just preparing a message, but time spent in his presence, getting to know him, reading his word in his presence. Here's another question. Is your thought life pure? You need to have somebody asking you these questions. Is your thought life pure? Come on. What are you thinking? Where are you at? Another one. How's your relationship with your spouse? You can tell a lot about somebody about how their relationship is with their spouse. How about this one? Have you seen something you should not have seen recently? Let's check the eye gate. Here's another one. Are you walking in total obedience to God? And the key there is total obedience. Because, come on, parents, we know this. Partial obedience is not obedience, right? And then the final question. Have you lied about any of those previous questions? To which you might have to say, yeah, I've lied to you today. Because I don't want you to know. And then your accountability person will say, come on, let's talk about it. I'm talking about some practical stuff, how to get freedom. Be accountable. Number three, take precautions. Precautions. We want to head off of the path as much as we can. What are you doing to try to keep it from happening? Proverbs 5 and 8 says, keep to a path far from her. Okay? So keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. As a pastor, here's what I have to do. I have to never consider myself above temptation, even as a pastor. And that should be the truth for all of us. In fact, if you look at every pastor that's ever fallen, most all of them say, I never thought it would happen. So we need to realize, guess what? We're all one step away from stupid, okay? We're all one step away from dumb. So for me, never travel alone. Come on, I'm just giving you some practical stuff. I'm just being a pastor today. You'll notice I never meet with a woman in private. We have windows on doors. If it were my way, I'd have the whole door would be nothing but a window. Okay? Transparency. I'm going to watch the hugs. Come on, hugs can get unholy sometimes. Come on, I hug you like this. You know, whatever. I'm just getting real. You think I'm being silly. I had a member I had to address with this. And he thought I was judging him. I said, I'm not judging your heart, I'm judging your behavior. It's wrong. I had women and their husbands coming to me complaining. Come on, keep it real. They're not here now. Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, don't look around. Well, I'm telling you, be practical. Come on, let's get real. I call my wife. I call Kim daily, all day long. She knows where I am, what I'm doing, what's going on. I might as well have a GPS on me. Well, I do. That's another whole story. But anyway, that's the work thing. But I'm telling you, I call her constantly. I'm in constant conversation with Kim. Right? I always talk positively about Kim, behind her back and in front of her. You don't need to be talking negative about your wife or your spouse or your husband in front of other people. It makes people think there's a disgruntled situation there and there might be an opportunity. Right? It's quiet in here. What y'all want to preach? Karen's doing next week. She'll bring life next week. She's going to talk about your stuff next week. I knew I wasn't going to get y'all real shouting too much hallelujah today. I told you this was a challenging message. Put a filter on everything. Put firewalls. Come on, put filters. I've got one for you called safeeyes.com. Safeeyes.com. Check that one out. Come on. Guarding ourselves. Putting precautions in place. Here's another one that I as a pastor do, and that's rehearse the consequences of sin. What would happen? What would happen? Number one, I would grieve the one who saved me. Number two, I would face his judgment more so because of the fact that I'm a leader. The Bible says, better a millstone hung around your neck, thrown to the sea than offend one of my children. Right? I would hurt Kim. I would have to stand in front of my kids. I mean, just thinking about this gets me emotional. I'd have to stand in front of my kids in shame, in the shame that I would bring them. I would waste 30 years of hard work in ministry. And I would undermine the work of other pastors and the ministry that they're doing because when one falls, it affects everybody. Those are the kind, and you need to rehearse, what would, if I do this thing, if I go down this path, come on, we're talking about practical precautions to take. Let me give you a final one. Number four, make Jesus Lord of my life. See, we love him as Savior, but he wants to be Lord. I don't want to go to hell. I know I don't want to go to hell. I need a Savior. But he wants to be the Lord of your life. You have a master. It's the one you're serving. It might be you. It might be your money. It might be your stuff. Karen's going to address I'm asking your stuff next week, okay? It might be your stuff. It might be whatever the enemy has put in front of you. Romans chapter 6 says this, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. It says, for sin shall not be your master. Someone said, well, sin's not my master. Jesus is my master. Then let me get you to answer these questions. Do your family and friends say that you have a problem? Do you continue doing what you're doing even though you know you're hurting people? Do you arrange your schedule around it? Can you go a week without it? Is it leading you into isolation? Are you hiding it? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you have a different master. So I'm just encouraging us. Come on, we want to take off the mask and let's find freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's the truth. Let me give you some life, okay? Let me give you some life. Again, there's this fear of exposure of what's going to happen. I can't tell you what people are going to do, but I want to tell you what Jesus is going to do, okay? There's a story in John chapter 8 of a woman who was caught in adultery. We're probably familiar with that story. And she was guilty. They caught her in the act. And they were ready to stone her. The law said that they had the right to stone her. And Jesus had a brilliant answer to her to that. And he said, okay, let's stone her. But let the one without sin be the one that cast the first stone. Brilliant, brilliant. Because we've all sinned. And so people started to drop their stone and leave. But then he knelt down and started writing in the sand to disperse the crowd even more. And theologians have kind of guessed at what he may have been writing in the sand, but I don't know. I kind of use my imagination and think that, perhaps he was writing some of their mistresses. Sally. Oh, that's mine. I'm getting out of here. Right. Judy. Oop. Time for me to leave. I got to go, right? I mean, just think, I don't know. But there this woman was. She looked around, and he said, there she was in all this place with her mask ripped off by others. And Jesus asked her, where are your accusers? And she says, there aren't any. And then Jesus said these beautiful words, neither do I accuse you. Don't you just love him for that? I didn't come to accuse you. I didn't come to condemn you. He came to bring light to our dark side. He came to expose that darkness in us so that we can receive his light and his life. And he simply just said, I don't condemn you. Now go. Live a life free of your sin. Be free. Right? There was truth, but there was grace. And then look at what he said. In verse 12, Jesus spoke again to the people, and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So he said, I didn't come to yell at you. I didn't come to shout at you. I didn't come to slam the gavel and send you to hell. No, he said, I came to bring you light. I've come to bring you the light of life. I just got to say to us sitting here and those watching online, that's available today. That's available. And there's two options. There's two options. God gives us opportunities, and he gives us a message like this, an opportunity for us to come to him and find freedom. And then there's another option, and that is it will be revealed on Judgment Day. Can I tell you, this is the best place. to come clean and say, God, I need you. I want to give you a point today and a final point, and I just want to, I don't want you to write this down unless really you're willing to do this today. So this is the altar call. This is your moment with God in this statement. Go ahead, put it up there, son. Today I make a fresh commitment to spiritual, moral, ethical, and sexual purity. After you've written that down, would you just bow your heads with me? God brought a message as strong and as grace-filled as I know how. A message of truth, but a message of grace. God, you've come to bring light to our dark side. Help us to do it here, to find freedom, to find grace. If you're here today and are watching online, I want to give you an opportunity through leading you in a prayer to make him Lord. I'm not talking about Savior only. I'm talking about Lord. And I just wonder how many here today are willing to say, I want to make him Lord of my life. Lord. It's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to follow Jesus. It's quite a difference. You want him to be the master of your life. I'll tell you, if we will take the mask off, there's help available. There's healing. There's wholeness. There's peace. There's freedom that's available today. I'd like to lead you in a prayer today. For those of you that are ready to make him Lord, would you just slip up a hand and say, count me in as we go into prayer? Just count me in this prayer. Yes, yes, good job, good job, good job. All over this place. You're watching online. Would you join us with this? Come on, pray this prayer. Just say, Lord, today, thank you. You are my righteousness. I'm in need of you. You see everything. You know all. You know I need you. So today, I come to you. Thank you for offering me life and freedom. With your help, I turn from my sin, from my way, to follow you. I invite you to come in. Make me new, brand new on the inside. I give you my life. And I declare today, you are my Savior through what you did on the cross and my faith in you. But you are also Lord. And with all my heart, I will follow you. God, for every person who just prayed that prayer, I rejoice with them. And today, may the peace of God that passes all understanding come live inside of them. I pray, God, that you would help us today, God, to live our life for you, that day by day, step by step, God, we would guard our eyes. Lord, God, that we, oh Lord, would put precautions in place. God, that that we will truly make you Lord of our life, and that we'll follow you and live in your presence day by day. Oh God, and experience the freedom that you offer through your blood, Jesus, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you today. We give you all the praise for everything accomplished in the wonderful, powerful, mighty, miraculous name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.